from the Acts of the Apostles, beginning with chapter 11, verse 1. Now the apostles and the believers who were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also accepted the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him, saying, "Why did you go to the uncircumcised men and eat with them?" Then Peter began to explain it to them, step by step, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. There was something like a large sheet coming down from heaven, being lowered by its four corners, and it came close to me. As I looked at it closely, I saw four-footed animals, beasts of prey, reptiles, and birds of the air. I heard a voice saying to me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' But I replied, 'By no means, Lord, for nothing profane or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' But a second time the voice answered me from heaven, 'What God has made clean, you must not call profane.' This happened three times. Then everything was pulled up again to heaven. All at that very moment, three men sent to me from Caesarea arrived at the house where we were. The Spirit told me to go with them and not to make a distinction between them and us. These six brothers also accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen the angel standing in his house and saying, 'Send to Joppa and bring Simon, who is called Peter. He will give you a message by which you and your entire household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them just as it had upon us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' If then God gave them the same Spirit that he gave us when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could hinder God?" When they heard this, they were silenced, and they praised God, saying, "Then God has given even to the Gentiles the repentance that leads to life." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Three travelers were on a journey. A man of the Jewish faith, a man of the Hindu faith, and a critic. As they traveled along in this ancient time, they came upon a home and they were seeking lodging for the night. The master of the home said, "I'll be glad to host you, but I only have space in the house for two of you. One of you will need to stay the evening in the barn." The Hindu obliged and said, "I'm from a very humble faith. I'm willing to go and lower myself and sleep in the barn for the evening." So he went. A few minutes later, there was a knock on the door. It was the Hindu. He said, "Oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't realize there was a cow in the barn, and they are sacred in our faith. I can't impose upon him. I must not stay in the barn." To that the Jew said, "Well, it's nothing for me to be a worker of the faith. And if it needs to be done, I'll go and do it, and I'll sleep in the barn." So he went. A few minutes later, knock on the door. The Jew had returned, and he said, "Oh my goodness, it never dawned on me that you would have a pig in your barn. I can't be around a beast of that disdained nature. I cannot sleep in the barn. I must stay in the house." And finally and lastly, the critic among them went to the barn, and after he was gone a few minutes later, knock on the door. This time, it was the cow and the pig. Nobody, even cows and pigs, can hang around the critics around us very long, can they? They seem to take the wind out of our sails, the fuel out of our engines, and the joy from our life. Such is the nature of those who criticize. In our scripture today, Luke, the writer, introduces us in this Acts of the Apostles to an experience where Peter was engulfed with criticism. It begins here in verse 1 where it says that these people of faith, these who were of the long-standing tradition of the church in Jerusalem, when they heard that Peter had gone to minister to those who were different, to those who were perceived as outcasts, to those who were looked upon as less than people of faith, then they had criticism for Peter. And you know what I'm inspired by here in this text? Matthew Henry says this, the great writer, interpreter, and commentary instructor in our journey of faith. Matthew Henry said, the news of Peter breaking bread with the Gentiles, it reached Jerusalem before he did. Have you ever had an experience like that? Go somewhere on a trip and something bad happened and the news beat you back to town? That's what happened to Peter here. Before he could get to Jerusalem, the gossip mills had begun. Well, we know what Peter's up to. Here he is, Ken, supposed to be a leader in our church, an example for all of us to follow of how to walk as a righteous person, and he breaks bread with Gentiles. He associates with those who have not upheld the law to every letter of which it had been written. And you see what happens in their time, and maybe often in our times, is they had half the truth. Isn't that what happens in gossip or in criticism? When we look down our peering nose in judgment of those around us, so often we don't have the full story. You see, they've gotten the information second hand. Our scripture tells us that they heard what Peter had done instead of talking with Peter about his actions. Such came their criticism and their gossip. Sam Walton once said this. He said, great ideas come from everywhere if you'll just listen and look for them. You never know who's going to have a great idea. You know what Walton is saying there? Sometimes we need to be quick to listen and slow to speak. Wasn't it James, the brother of Jesus, who said those very words, who had at once been a critic of our Lord Jesus, who ultimately said, we, dear church, if we're going to be leaders in the faith, leaders in our family, in our community, an example for others, we need to be quick to listen and slow to criticize and eager to love. So here's how Peter responded. Even though the hearsay had begun, even though the critics were at his door, Peter went, and here's how he practiced, dear friends, why God called him to be the leader of our church. The scriptures tell us in verse 3, did you hear it? It says that Peter gathered them together, in verse 4, and he had explained every detail step by step to those who were questioned. Now that's good leadership, isn't it? Peter, instead of avoiding the problem, instead of just swelling up like an old toad frog and being mad because of the gossiping critics, Peter went and he met it head on. And he addressed their questions. And in every way he could, he explained, our scripture said, step by step. My sweet wife, for Mother's Day, she got me a new grill set last night. Let me put it together. And as we were putting that together, and Noah helped us a little bit, and we got those instructions. You know what the instructions said? They had a number for each step. And it said, now don't you jump around and go over here and there. It said, go in order, step by step, until it's complete. And then at the end, you'll be well pleased with the outcome. And we are. It looks great, beautifully assembled. If that works in instruction kits in a practical way, Peter's giving us that model of how to lead in the church, how to lead in the family, in the classroom, in the workplace. Explain our positions step by step and follow the instruction of our Lord as we represent Him as people of faith. You see, that's what Peter truly did. The critics said, you've gone against the law, but Peter was truly listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit guiding him in faith. You see, Peter was a man of prayer. Isn't that how we listen, dear friends, most of all? So often, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get it mixed up and I think prayer is all about what I want to say to God. And what I want to ask Him for. And sometimes I get it so clouded, I'll do things like this. I'll basically say, God, I've got this wonderful plan. If you'll just bless it and give me what I want, everything will be wonderful. Instead of humbly approaching His wisdom and truth, and not so much talking in prayer as listening in prayer, giving God an opportunity to lead us. You see, that's what Peter was. During the first century, the centurion in our text today, we hear the story. And if we look back in chapter 10, the detailed account, it begins in Acts 10, verse 1, of how this man Cornelius was a man of deep faith. It says he was a man of worship and a man of prayer. And the Holy Spirit came to him because he was eager to listen. Centurions, the historians tell us, F.F. Bruce says this in his commentary, that centurions, their greatest gift was not to be great military minds, not to be wonderful warriors, but the greatest gift called upon to be a centurion, a leader of 100 or more soldiers, was this, to be a man who was a leader. And they led most efficiently by listening, by not being quick to anger. They could build consensus. They could bring people together. They could help work for the common good. Isn't it interesting that God, the Holy Spirit, today called the leader of our church, Peter, and the leader of this Roman citizen group together, both through their prayers. Imagine what God can do for us more intently. If we will be more quick, dear church, to listen than to criticize. Visited with Kelly and Steve a few moments this morning, and Lynn and I did. It's talking about wedding and marriage and the gift of life and love for us. And I shared with them a little guide that I've devised that I share with couples before their marriage begins. It's called the two-step marriage dance. And it's a reminder that marriage relationships are much like a dance. There's give and take. Sometimes we stumble. Hopefully we don't fall. We support one another and we make beautiful movements together. And in that marriage acronym I put together, I said, with those two steps in that relationship, the first one is built upon the acronym PRAY that speaks of our relationship with God individually and as a couple. The PRAY acronym to strengthen our relationships begins with the P, the prayer. Pray throughout the day. Pray without ceasing, as Paul would say. The R of PRAY is to read Scripture daily. The A of the PRAY acronym to strengthen our relationships together is to adore God in worship weekly. Go to church. Glorify Him. Find His grace strengthen you. And then the Y of the PRAY acronym of our relationship to God and with one another is to yoke ourselves with Christ, to allow Him to carry the load for us and to do His work in the world around us. That's the first step. The second step of relationships, and this doesn't just have to be marriage. Maybe it's a mother-child or a child and parent relationship. It speaks of love. The relationship between each other. The L of love is when we listen more fervently. The O is when we offer forgiveness when we do make mistakes. The V of the love acronym is to value the other as the precious gift they are. And then finally, the E of the love is to encourage. To encourage. 5 positive points every time you make a negative point. If I say something negative about what Manya's wearing, I'll spend the rest of my life in purgatory. No, I have to say 5 positive things about what she wore. We fill their love tank when we do that, the relationships we have with others. I tell you, I did print this out for you all today. There are copies of that 2-step marriage dance. I've mentioned this today because, friends, we need some help, we men's around us. We men that want to express our love to the mothers in our life. There's a manual in the narthex. If you would, grab a copy of that if you'd like to share what I just gave to you today. A model and reminder. Do you know what I'm inspired by on that model? Is that the first 2 steps involve listening. Just as Peter listened in prayer. Just as the centurion was eager to listen for God's voice of guidance for him. Friends, may we who seek to serve our church, our family, and our community be more fervent to listen. Because you know what happened in our text today? After Peter explained his position to those who were critics, in verse 18 of our text today, it tells us that after listening to Peter, here's what happened. They were silenced. And this was their response. And they praised God. You know what I hear there? That when we listen more than we criticize, then God is glorified. Here's what I'm thinking. If we're spending more time criticizing those who are different from us, criticizing those who don't measure up in our eyes, criticizing those who appear to be the outcast in our image, if we spend more time criticizing the children of God than glorifying the Father above, then friends, we need to check ourselves and more fervently seek to glorify Him, encouraging those around us through His love and praying daily for His strength to walk in His ways. Amen.